5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ow! I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Pick him up, Jimmy boy.
Put moron number two on the phone.
Now he's got his mask on.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Oh, nice to have your company. A beautiful day today, of course, to be listening to the radio because this is entertainment with a capital E. Yep. Nick Haynes joins us. Looking forward to chatting to Nick Haynes too. He is a star, this young man. Plays as an intercept defender for GWS. Had a ripping final series last year and is a beauty. So we got him coming up. And then Mark Geyer.
Yeah.
And you've requested a couple of minutes with Marco Willis. Why is that, as I say hello to you?
G'day, Jimmy boy. Great to be with you. Because, Jim, I know we have some hub trouble and out there. But let me tell you, in the NRL, there's a lot of hub trouble. Coaches being sacked. Coaches about to be sacked. Are they laid off? Going out for lunch with their girlfriends?
It's
all happening in the NRL.
All right.
So we'll be all over that, or Mark Geyer will be the old bum sniffer himself. But great to be with you, and great to be with you, Rabsy.
You've kicked five lazy ones. You happy with it?
Yeah, they're just five. There was nothing special there, but I kicked five.
Who's that, Rabbits?
That's me.
Yeah, it's
is fat. That fat?
Yeah, you kicked five, I think, in a... was it Allies game?
Allies. There's nothing special. I just did what I had to do.
What happened to your voice there? Nothing special there?
Well, you've kicked five lazy ones. You happy with it?
Yeah, they're just five. There was nothing special there, but I kicked five.
JB, you can't talk.
That's
you
what can't I'm saying. Talk. Oh, yeah! Oh, that's what happens when you go back and get audio fat. It sounds like your pill bag's been squeezed.
I know. It's nothing to do with that. It's the audio. Now, Jim, what's the
right,
game
man?
Last night?
No, not a lot of it. No, but they would have been nervous halfway through, the Maggies. I thought they'd win by more than that, to be honest. They got their act together in the end.
They did have some injuries, of course, but half-time wasn't looking good. Adelaide in front, of course, and had a pretty good second half. But I couldn't watch it all, I must admit. I turned over to Stan, and I found a new show, Jim, for you.
Have you? What's it called?
Yellowstone.
Oh, Yellowstone. It's been around for a while, Fat.
Well, I'm just
even I know of Yellowstone. That's Kevin Costner,
Kevin Costner. He's the
big ranch owner.
Big family ranch, and he's trying to save it from property developers and Indians, Jim.
Yeah, so no, good show. Happening.
And the daughter, she's in it. Oh, wow.
Bill, she's got a bit of game.
She had this naughty. It just wouldn't do up to
thank you, Bill. Yeah.
Or a robe.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying, yeah.
Just kept falling apart.
Yep.
Even falling apart. And speaking of Collingwood, Jim, Collingwood coach Nathan Buckley is in the clear after making contact with a fan he knew at Adelaide Oval. So he come down out of the coach's room, saw a bloke he knew. It looked like he might have had a little handshake with him. He didn't. I think they might have just done the old bump. But they had to have a look at it. And just little things like that, you just, because that's what you automatically do.
Well, of course.
G'day, buddy. How you going? Shake hands, you know. So can't even do that, Jim. It's unbelievable.
No, you can't. It is. You've got to be on your game permanently. But, they'll be happy. Every now and then, Fat, even though you should win, and Collingwood obviously should have won that game and did, every now and then you get caught in the middle of a game you should win and it's not going the right way, and at the end you just take the W and wander off into the sunset.
Yep, if you could, but if you're in a hub, you can't. Game tonight, Jim, continues. It's the last game of round 11, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Gold Coast Suns take on Essendon at Metricon. Couple of ins for the Gold Coast Suns. One of them, Jim, Sam Flanders. The freak from the creek.
Ned.
He's from Fish Creek, and he's they all love him. They reckon he's a star, so good luck to him. They've dropped Holman. They've dropped Sexton. So they're going all right, the Suns, aren't they, if they can drop those two?
Yep.
And Essendon. Hurley outmanaged. That'll hurt him. And Draper, who I thought was been pretty good the last couple of weeks, he's been managed also. Big Belcho comes in, Gleeson and Clark come into that. So that'll finish round 11. And then, of course, round 12 starts tomorrow with Sydney and the Giants in Perth.
Tell me the last big AFL name to come out of Fish Creek.
Was Stanton, was it? Played for Western Bulldogs.
Right. Wayne Wiedemann. The Weed. Oh, the Weed. I reckon he was from Fish Creek.
Righto. Barry Sam.
Remember him with the ferocious mullet?
The hair. And then went over to Adelaide, of course, and was a cult hero.
Oh, yeah. Bloody oath he was. No doubt about it. The Weed, good fella too. All right. What else have we got, Fat, in this glorious opener? That's it.
Well, that's it, Jim.
Right.
Because we've got a big show. We've got Nick Haynes.
Have we? Yeah.
We've got Mike Geyer.
Mark.
Might even have. There's something wrong with this audio. It doesn't.
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, the audio. That's it.
I was thinking of having a quiz, but I don't know.
Long ball for the All-Stars. Inside forward 50 and a massive leap from Haynes for Victoria. Takes a ripping mark.
Oh, and that is a good way to start this interview, I reckon, Fat, with Nick Haynes, yep. Who's one of the most impressive intercept players in the competition and, of course, played richly deserved to play State of Origin footy earlier this year. Nick, welcome.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Was that a thrill to play at that level with that company? I mean, we all knew how good a player you are. You had a ripping final series last year, but to then pull on the Victorian jumper and play in that game, what did that feel like?
Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise, actually, when I got told and made the shortlist, and I thought probably 50-50, but got the call from Dimmer, and especially to play alongside, I think, six other Giants players, and play with the best in the competition and rub shoulders with them was a great experience, and one I'll be able to tell the kids when a bit older.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, where do we find you? You in Perth getting ready for the Battle of the Bridge game, the Giants and the Swans, which will be in Perth, which is interesting.
Yeah, first time over here. So, arrived around 4 or 5 days ago, I think, in Perth from Queensland. And, it's a bit different over here in Perth. We're a bit more tyre restricted, but we're about stones throw away from the ground. And tomorrow night will be another Battle of the Bridge and another good game against the Swannies, I reckon.
No, mate, that'll be a cracking game. And the Giants, tell me where you see your form line. Mm. I mean, we all watch the Giants. Your best is unbelievably good. But right now, where do you see your club sitting?
Yeah, obviously we had that pretty lean patch a few weeks ago, and as a club we all kind of bought in and said we're going to start the season first. So since then we've been 3-0, playing some better footy, but against Essendon in that second quarter we lapsed. But I think the best thing was that after half time we're able to scratch our way back after a 5-day break. So hopefully we can carry that momentum in and keep being undefeated in the hub life.
Yeah, and Leon Cameron, mate, we certainly love him. All the boys love him, and he's going well. Is he? Can you just see him improving all the time as a coach?
Yeah, obviously, as I said, we had that lean patch, and we picked up some fours in the game that we need to improve. And whenever the message across boys, and normally ask on it. So there's been parts of we've had these patches in the years past years where we've had these lean ones, and I think back in 18 or 19 we won 10 games in a row. After we lost 5 in a row, so when there's a problem, Leon normally finds it, and we normally fix it.
So tell us with Leon and your particular role, what does he say to you? When you see the ball in the air, back yourself, back your instinct, or is there a zone you've got to play first, and then if you can work off that, you do, or you arm across with your direct opponent? What are your sort of structures you work around with Leon?
Well, he doesn't give me much, so I do what I do until he tells me otherwise. So over the years, he's been told me to rein it in, punch the ball more when I'm dropping a few because my man's getting it. But I think he normally has a bit of trust in me, which is really great for my end and the team's end. And not just him, but the backs as well have a lot of trust within each other. And very thankful for the role I play with people like Lockie Keith, Phil Davis and all that, locking down the big boys and me trying to help them out as much as I can.
No, you're a star, Nico. And I see you're working on a documentary of the Giants and their short history. How's all that going, mate?
Yeah, I've completed it. So obviously I had a bit of time on my hands. So, I've got a bit of a passion in video editing. And over the years, our media team's got some great vision and obviously, when the final series rolls around, they film all that as well, just in case we win it, they want to make something. So we've played in 3 prelims and a granny, so there's all this footage there that was sitting there and for an opportunity. And I think I'm going to show the boys this week, and I think Fox Footy are pretty interested in it as well. So hopefully some eyes will get on it in very soon.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And Frankston, we were just talking about that off-air. Growing up down there, now, Breedham, nice and tough, but you're actually... you know, good looking, long hair, sort of blonde, man more bun. The surfy style than what we expect out of Frankston there, Nicky boy.
Yeah, there's two types of people in Frankston. There's the fighters and the survivors. So I'm the survivor and one of the nice boys. So I just try to wiggle my way through Frankston growing up. But yeah, we are. The skimboarding is big in Frankston, so it's kind of a surfy thing that I did back in the day on the flats there. So that was good fun growing up along the beaches.
Tell us about that skimboarding. It's right on the ocean shore, isn't it, when the waves come in? I've done a bit myself. So.
Yeah, have you?
Just tell the people out there, Nico, and also you're pretty good at it.
Well, there's two styles. There's flatland skimboarding and wave skimboarding. Right. Wave skimboarding is a shore break where you fiberglass board, start on the bank, and then you catch the shore break in, so you do a 180, and then flatland is on the bank, so obviously Port Phillip Bay, no surf, so on low tide, you know, a little puddle, and we used to build ramps out of plywood and PVC pipe, and there used to be comps every year at the Frankston Foreshore Festival, and managed to win one of that in the open year in my draft year, so they haven't had a comp since, so I'm actually the reigning champ.
What size board do you reckon we would need to get fat properly flat water skimboarding?
I don't reckon any wood board would do it. You need a massive fiberglass board for that one. I'm just hoping for the best.
Hey, I had to give it up because you had to wait the low tide, which worried me a bit. But also, it was bloody dangerous. So I used to break toes and things like that. It's dangerous, isn't it, Nick?
Yeah, I've broken four toes and had 10 stitches through my shin. And, it wasn't good. So I'm glad to give that up. And I think it was in my contract that I wasn't allowed to do it. So I'll spew with that one.
What was the low tide issue, Fat? Just a harpoon?
Well, is that your problem? Yeah, Greenpeace were the problem, Jim.
Hey, Nick, we need to talk more to you. Do you mind sticking around?
Yeah, no problem.
It's the Rush Hour on Triple M, JB and Bill. It's Triple M's Rush Hour, James Brayshaw, Billy Brownless, and from the GWS Giants, Nick Haynes joins us.
And how good is it to have him on the line, of course, in Perth, getting ready to take on the Sydney Swans. What a weird-ass thing that is. The Battle of the Bridges being played at Optus Stadium. Now, tell us about Toby Green, Nicky boy, because there's so much focus on this one individual at your club, but he's a hell of a player and a different cat, it seems, from the outside.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, everyone knows how good of a player is, but internally, he's a bit of a bookworm, loves reading the paper, loves drinking five teas a day, very smart. We've been playing trivia up here to pass the time, and he's probably one of the people that knows the most stuff about trivia as well. So he's probably a bit introverted as well, a bit of a quiet boy. So internally, he's got much respect and, very different cat to what he's on the field.
Street smart, I reckon he'd be, Jimmy. He knows how. He's been here before in this world. Hey, I read with interest. We're talking to Nick Haynes up there from the Giants. And, Nico, you quit footy. You're playing some pretty good footy down Frankston way, and you quit for 3 or 4 years because of anxiety, mate.
Yeah, a bit to do with that. But, lost interest when I was about 13 and the bigger body started to come into it and I was a bit fragile back in the day. And, quit for 4 years. I took up that skimboarding, as we talked about, and still continue to play basketball. But, the footy didn't really lost the passion and interest in footy. And when I was 17, 18, I just thought I'd go around and have a kick with the boys because the function seemed pretty fun. So, one thing led to another and managed to get back into it. I was actually going to quit being on Stingrays as well because I didn't want to play AFL and someone talked me into it, so I was very thankful that I did.
How much of it's in the game, Nick? Because, you know, that anxiety around performance and around the scrutiny and around, the ridiculous bloody social media stuff that's happening now. How much is of that are you seeing in your teammates and people who are playing footy at the top level?
Yeah, it's obviously huge. In AFL and society as well, as we're going older and getting into the social media and technology and all that stuff. So I think it's a big issue in schools and now, and it's one of the major problems. So the best thing about the AFL and the clubs that they know it's a number one priority that's come up over the last few years, and AFLPA, AFL clubs and AFL in general has made a priority, and we've got a full-time psychologist. We've had a meditation guy as well, and I think the more open and honest clubs are being, which they are, which our club is doing, makes a lot of difference. I came out a few years ago and told the players my problems, and then players are coming to me being asking for advice, and that, so that's all we can do is to make people more aware. And that's the starting block.
No, mate, I reckon it's absolutely brilliant because Fat and I, if you can believe it, Nick, are the same age, even though Bill looks comfortably 15 years older. But in our day, playing the game I played, of course, and Bill in the VFL, Bill, it was just harden up, yep. Get on with it. You know,
that's right.
If you can't put up with it, bugger off. There's someone else that can take your place. It was so unsophisticated, Nick, the way anxiety was handled, you know, 20, 30 years ago. And by the sound of what you've just said and what we know happens in clubland, it's we've come on leaps and bounds, and that's a bloody good thing.
Yeah, it's great to see. And obviously during this hub life as well, and everything's amplified, and it's good that everyone's got close connections and be able to openly talk about it and say if they're struggling, and we've got the resources to deal with it. So, we'll get through this year well, and everyone will be better off for it.
Spot on, mate. That's it. You've got to talk about it. And the other thing, Jim, is you've got to listen, which you don't.
Yes,
because you're
not
worried
to you.
About yourself.
Not to you.
You've got to listen. Hey, we've got to let you go, Nico, because I know you've got a team meeting, mate. But thanks for your time and good luck tomorrow when you take on the Sydney Swans in Perth. Just strange.
Yeah, thanks for having me, boys.
These are Billy's tips.
Turning it into hot, cold, hard, cold, hard cash.
Thanks to PointsBet's AFL early payout. Lead at halftime and you win. Gamble responsibly.
Oh, yes, indeed. PointsBet is your betting app there. And let me tell you, Rabsy, we've got one more game of round 11 to come.
I can't tell what round we're up to, Bill.
No, the last game and then tomorrow round 12 starts.
Right.
So it's the Gold Coast Suns and Essendon. And the Gold Coast Suns here, $1.65 favourites, if you like. Essendon, $2.25 there, Rabsy.
They've got a few outs, the Bombers.
They have. Yeah, Hurley will hurt them. And the AFL Elite Odds Player Combo, we love this.
Yes.
Isaac Rankin and Ben King to both kick a goal. They only have to kick one goal each. You get $2 from points bet.
Oh, and every time Rankin touches it, it looks like it's going to go for a goal.
Yeah, well said. Well done, Mumpsy. Also, points bet have 20 straight nights of early payouts. You lead at halftime, guess what? You win on every night for 20 straight days through to round 12. Now,
that happened
what about
last
this,
night, didn't it?
Well, I'll tell you, it's happened. 5 of the last 12 games, my friend, and PointsBet have paid out over $2 million on losing teams in the last 12 nights of footy. $2 million. 5 of the 12 games where teams have led at halftime have been paid out, and then, of course, they've got beaten at the end of the game. So PointsBet are just giving away money. Lead at halftime, you win. I can't believe it. Gee, I hope I get paid because they're giving away a lot of money there, PointsBet.
Well, they can't have a lot of money if you're the bloody spokesman for them, mate.
We've got same game multis, quick multis, elite odds, and around 500 different betting markets on every AFL game this round. So if you haven't already, jump online, download the PointsBet app, and please remember to gamble responsibly.
Billy's tips. Thanks to PointsBet's AFL early payout. Lead at halftime and you win. Gamble responsibly.
James Brayshaw, Billy Brownless. This is Triple M's Rush Hour, and we're joined by Sydney's Rush Hour royalty, Mark Guile.
Oh, just have a listen to the rundown. Fat 180 games in the big time, played for every bloody club in the comp nearly, of course, and then New South Wales, Australia, and now a broadcasting superstar of the NRL. Mark Guile, welcome to the proper Rush Hour.
Yeah, good afternoon, boys. And one club I didn't play for was the Brisbane Broncos, thank God.
Oh, mate. Well, I was going to say that Mark Guile now, because hub trouble in AFL, we've had our little hiccups and problems here, but, geez, there's some problems going on in the hubs in the NRL. You got coaches that have been sacked already, then you got coaches to be sacked, you got players sacked, you got coaches going out with their girlfriends for lunch, and what's going on up there?
Yeah, you know what, Billy, we had a couple early on. We had, obviously, Nathan Cleary with the TikTok drama. We had Latrell Mitchell and Josh Adokar up at a farm. But then we went pretty good for a good couple of months. And then all of a sudden it just went bang, 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 bang. And one of the main culprits was a coach in Wayne Bennett who was out having lunch. And Tevita Pengai Jr. from the Broncos has basically had his contract torn up because of the latest, when we were supposed to be at a hairdresser's in Brisbane, which was run by a bikie gang, and the cold hard facts were he wasn't even there for a haircut, so he's in a bit of froth and bubble.
Yeah. And also the Brisbane Broncos coach, I feel a bit sorry for him. I don't know him from Wheaties, but Anthony Seibold now, who's had to have 2 weeks off, family issues, but now some unbelievable rumours doing the rounds, and he's called in the lawyers to have a look into these rumours.
I was one of the people, and like a lot of people in Sydney and New South Wales, were getting an update basically daily of what was going on in Brisbane, and you're kind of thinking to yourself, you couldn't even write this type of script. And it was all around Anthony Seibold, and he since engaged a lawyer and called in the police to find out who the crux of it all is, who started it, because he's an angry man. None of it's true, and he's saying so. It's very damaging to not just his personal life, but his coaching life at the Broncos.
And tell us, speaking of coaches, Fat, it's a bloody poison chalice in the NRL, Marco. Down the bottom of the bloody coaches getting the arse left, right and centre, and the latest one, of course, from the Dragons, Paul McGregor. What is going on here, please?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. You think that in this unprecedented times that we're all going through at the moment, which is called a pandemic, that people would be a little bit more liberal, but it seems they're a bit more brutal. A lot of coaches have already. Stephen Kearney was the first to go from the Warriors, and Dean Pay went from the Bulldogs. Then there was the guy up in North Queensland, Paul Green. Yeah. It's just been a carousel of coaching movements, and it's really stuffed the game up because you don't know who's coaching who from week to week, and it's affecting not only the players, but there's probably three or four teams now that can win the competition. The rest get ready for 2021, and let's hope it's a better year next year, because at the moment it sucks.
And one team that has stood out and seems to be going beautifully, and they just keep winning, they've been away all season virtually in the hub, is the Melbourne Storm. Gee, they're a good side, aren't they, Marco?
They're a fantastic side. And I dare say that someone like a Tevita Pengai Jr., the only club I would say to him that you would probably go and better yourself is the Melbourne Storm. They seem to do it beautifully. They are coached well, they're managed well, they've got senior players that abide by the rules and regulations, and they've been forced to move from Melbourne up to the Sunshine Coast, and they haven't skipped a beat, even without the two Camerons, Munster and Smith, in their team. So they are a juggernaut. They're a great team to watch and a great team to be a part of, obviously.
What I like hearing, Marco, about the great bellyache, the coach, is beautifully supportive and gets his arms around everyone, but if you overstep the line, you cop straight down the middle. That would have happened to you a few times when you were playing?
No, just a couple. I actually had a couple of good run-ins with he's not the new boss of the Warriors, but he's helping out Nathan Brown, who has been given the job, Phil Gould, who was my coach at Penrith for a few years. I mean, he missed a buck horns a fair bit, but he always got the best out of me. He was kind of like a belly 80. He'd give you some rope. He'd say, go and play and have fun, but don't overstep the mark. And when you did, you'd come down, you're like a ton of bricks. And these days, they're very temperamental, the coaches. They've kind of don't know when to cut off from being a good mate or a good coach. And that's the kind of the conundrum that a lot of these modern-day coaches face.
Well, you've got to be careful, because I think even the Queensland Premier, what's her name again, Marco?
Palaszczuk.
Well, Palaszczuk, she's getting a bit antsy, mate. She's starting to worry a bit, and you can't have it blow up or the season just finishes, my friend.
Well, look, and let's talk about your coach for a quick second, how good you've been as basically playing a game every second day. And there's a local derby between the Swans and GWS played in Perth. And we spoke to one of the Swans boys yesterday on the show, and I said, do you kind of wake up each morning and go, where the friggin' hell are we playing today? Who are we playing against? But they're doing their due diligence, and that's what they've got to do. Our guys, every time someone gets caught breaking the rules and the protocols, we go one step closer to competition stopping not just the players losing their income and the game losing its income, but the supporters who every weekend they just can't wait to see their team play, they suffer most. And that's something we can't really afford to do as a coach.
Now, Marco, when you're wondering what to put to air on the Rush Hour, do you ever get audio of what happens down here in Melbourne and just listen to Bill and think, it doesn't matter how bad we go, we can't be that bad?
Well, no, I actually look up to you boys. You're my reason. You're my reason for getting to work each day at 4 o'clock, and we sound check you boys, and we say, look, these are the professionals. These are the pros. This is what I aspire to be. I'm moving to Melbourne to be with you. Can we make a threesome?
No.
We're having the piss taken out of us here, by the way.
I know. Buy a bum sniffer, Jim. Buy a bloody bum sniffer. Lucky's 1,000 Ks away, Jim.
Hey, Marco, well done, mate. Thanks for jumping on the line, and all the best with everything up there.
Yeah, thanks, Will. You too. Ditto.
Good on you, mate.
Tomorrow, Fat, we speak to Tom Rockcliffe, who we love, like The Rock, of course, does a great job talking to us, of course, from Port Adelaide. And I don't understand how this can possibly happen, but I've got on my rundown anyway, a hump day quiz when tomorrow isn't hump day.
That's right, Jim. Thursday, it's been very popular, and a lot of people want to hear it on Thursday, apparently. Plus, it is the hump day quiz with a difference.
Oh. All right. Well, that's coming up tomorrow. Must listen to radio, of course, but now maybe something that makes us giggle.
Yeah.
End the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke.
Well, let's see how this one goes, Jim. I've got another one on backup.
Okay.
What do a fire truck and an elephant have in common?
What?
They're both red, except for the elephant.
Oh, my God. Surely you must have something else.
That is horrible. Look at Julie. She got no idea. Went straight over her hedge.
No, that's just rubbish.
I've got a mate, Jim, who went to Thailand and...
Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you.
No, I've got a mate.
Get plastic rolling.
No, I've got a mate who's fallen in love with two school bags, Jim.
Yep.
He's by satchel.
Oh, no. Oh, come on, Fred. Well, it's better than the first one, but that's not saying much.
I've also got a mate that went to Thailand.
No, no one was there. His mate's by satchel.
Did you get that?